Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you today, God. We thank you and we praise you, God. God, we thank you that our lives are in your hands. God, we thank you that we're safe in your arms, God. So, God, we're asking right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would cleanse our hearts and our minds to receive your word, God. That we'll understand that the word of God is nourishment for our spirit, nourishment for our soul, and yes, even nourishment for our bodies, God. So we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would speak this morning through your servant. We pray that every ear is listening and every heart is receptive, God, to your word, God. We honor you for who you are. It is in the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, God bless you. It's good to be here this morning. Amen, 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 amen. I just want to thank you for everyone who have dressed in their Afrocentric garb this morning. We thank God for that. And I'm amen, amen, amen. Last year was primarily the women that dressed in the Afrocentric. This year the men have stepped up. Amen. If you have a tie on or you have a sash like myself, you know, this is to celebrate our history. We can celebrate our history and remember where we came from, but also celebrate Jesus and where he's brought us from. Amen, amen, amen. He's worthy to be praised. Let me do this. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning, because there are times that God will change things right in the midst of what you're attempting to do. And so if you would, turn to the 8th chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John. We begin our reading at verse number 30. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse number 30. In the King James Version, it reads like this: "And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." In this passage of scripture, I would like to take for a thought. They've been free, but they didn't know it. Abraham Lincoln, in 1963, signed a documentation called the Emancipation Proclamation that ended the Civil War and had abolished slavery. But because of the time in which news traveled very slowly, there were some plantations that did not get the immediate notice that they had been freed from slavery. It took Yankee General to go into Texas, as a matter of fact, Galveston, Texas, to let the people know that they had been freed. They had been working on plantations for 2 years as free men and women and did not know it. And a lot of times we're the same way as being in Christ, that you have been freed, but you just don't know it. Many of us are still living with a slave mentality. Like Christ has not freed us. We're still living our lives chained to sin and bondage. And the reality of it is that you're not getting paid while you're still working as a slave. But understand that God comes to free us, comes to set us free. Understand, we as a people have had a storied history in this nation. Many of us don't even know the real history behind slavery. And understand that slavery has been around almost as long as human existence. You remember Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. So slavery is not a new concept. It's been around for a while. But when we begin to look at 19th century slavery, the enslavery of black people in the Americas, we see a whole different breed of slavery in 19th century slavery. Because under this slavery, this was one of the first times that they dehumanized individuals. They treated them as they weren't, like they weren't a person. Yes, they came, they raped our women. And whether you know it or not, they raped some of our men as well. My wife and I had an opportunity to go down to Louisiana. We visited a plantation down there. And I applaud the presenter, because he made the presentation so vivid and so plain and so unmistakable that it's forever etched in my mind of how some of these slaves went out to the field and came back missing hands, came back missing feet by the swinging of a machete. Some never even came back. Because if they didn't kill one another out in the field, the heat killed them. There was rumors, and there's witnesses that will tell you that there was an attempt to kill the slaves by working them to death. There were insurance policies that were taken out, that if they killed a slave by working them today in a certain period of time, they would be able to reap the benefits of the insurance policy. They did not even treat them like they were human. They gave them the scraps to work with in order to eat. And we've taken those scraps and turned them into soul food. Because understand that God is still involved. And even though God does not condone slavery, slavery is not his idea. He has allowed it Because he's allowed us to have a free spirit, a free will. But understand that God is going to judge every indecent act that we do. And don't you ever believe that the people that enslaved us are going to get away with this. God is going to judge this mess. And even though the Emancipation Proclamation was signed, and physically we became free, and even after Juneteenth, 2 years after signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, those folk had become free. The reality of it is that we're still not free. Because the Bible tells us that whomever you are a slave to, whatever it is that has you in bondage, you are a slave to that. And even though God had already taken care of us physically and removing us out of that circumstances, there's still a level of freedom that he had to offer us. And that freedom was to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can set us free. And you're set free by the preaching of the gospel message. But understand that it is not just by the preaching of the gospel message. What are you going to do with the gospel message? It's being preached. And you hear it. But what kind of effect is it having on you? Has it changed your life? Has it broken any chains of sin? Has it cleansed you and made you brand new? Or are you still in bondage? Are you still bound to that old life, that old way? Is it easy for you to go back to those old ways? You see, because even some of the slaves that had been set free, that had walked off plantations because they did not know what to do with themselves, went right back to the same bondage. And understand this, that's the second atrocity to 19th century slavery, because they didn't prepare the people to free them. It gave them absolutely nothing. What am I to do with this newfound freedom? And much in the same way, spiritually, what are we to do with this newfound freedom that God gives us? How are we to deal with it? How are we to walk in this? Jesus right here is dealing in this text. He's dealing with some of the Jews that had come to believe in him. He had already dealt with the scribes and the Pharisees opening up this chapter. And he showed them how hypocritical they were. And when we begin to look at America today, America is a very hypocritical nation. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This nation is hypocrites. Because we claim that this is the place that God resides, that we're a Christian nation. But we forget about the atrocities that we've done, not just in the United States, but all over the world. We forget about the lives that we've killed, the innocent lives that we've killed. But yet we want to be a Christian nation. What about the injustices that we see going on today? What is this Christian nation doing about it? What are we as a Christian church doing about it? When we stand up for what's right, when will we stand up for what God stands up for? And so Jesus takes this opportunity to talk to the Jews. He said, listen, that you've come to me. You've heard the preaching. You've heard me preach, and you've believed on me. He said, but it's the truth that has set you free. And this bothered them. It bothered them because they had a very short-sighted memory. They begin to say that, wait, we're Abraham's seed. In other words, we come from Father Abraham, one who had been held in high esteem. As a matter of fact, they held Abraham higher than they did Jesus. So we belong to Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage. What are you talking about? Well, they were short-sighted. And really what it takes here is it takes a history lesson. That's why I say sometimes you got to remember where you came from. These people had forgotten where they came from. They had forgotten Egypt and how they were in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. And as they began to grow, the burden that Pharaoh put on them became heavier and heavier. But they had never been in bondage. They forgot all about it. They forgot the fact that it was God's hand that had brought them out of Egypt. They forgot about the 10 plagues that God brought upon Egypt. They forgot about every time Pharaoh's heart was hardened, God did something to soften it. God is doing the same thing. So some of us are still, we still have that Egypt mentality. We still want to stay locked in to our old ways. The reality of it is that most times God doesn't move fast enough for us on some situations. Because usually a lot of times when we want to get in ourselves is when someone has offended us, and if God don't get them quick enough, we'll get them for him. God, if you won't do it, I'll stand in the gap for you. But the reality of it is that we must wait on God. Because understand that God can get your enemies and the ones who are coming against you better than you can ever get them. Here's what it is. See, because all you can get is retribution. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for to satisfy that flesh because someone has wronged you. But what happens when God deals with that individual? God deals with that individual from the inside out. In other words, God started making that individual say, hey, listen, wait a minute. I've done something wrong here. It is God that can get on the inside of them and make them change their ways to the point to where they'll come and they'll beg your apology. But most times when we get involved, we make the situation worse. That's what they had forgot about. But yes, they were once in bondage. They were once in sin. Because that's what Paul says in the 6th chapter of Romans, right? He says that all of us at one time were in bondage to sin. And the only way for us to get out of this bondage is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. That he's the one that come to break that bondage of sin. He's the one that come to empower us to get up from up underneath the penalty of sin. He deals with the penalty of sin through our justification, through our belief in him. That has been taken care of at Calvary's cross. Jesus took care of that. You and I, we didn't have anything to do with that. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, there's nothing that you or I could do about it. That would be like one of the slaves going up to the master back in 19th century days saying, listen here, I'm tired of doing this. I'm letting you know, I'm serving you notice now. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Well, how would that work out for them? The slave is incapable of freeing himself. He needs someone greater than himself to be able to free them. He needs someone of authority. And just like Abraham Lincoln signed the proclamation, Emancipation Proclamation, Jesus signed our freedom papers. And he signed it with his precious blood. It is the blood of Jesus that was required to free us from the sin that we're in. And he's the only one that can free us. And that's why when you struggle and you're trying and you're struggling and you're trying to get right, you can't get right because you can't get right. It's impossible for you to get right. You need someone stronger. You need someone with authority. And Jesus has authority. Because when he stepped out on resurrection ground, he declared that he had all authority, all power. He's the only one that can free us from this body of sin. So he frees us from the penalty of sin. We don't no longer have to be worried about going to hell, because that's the penalty for our sinfulness. The wages of sin is death. He frees us from that. But we're still dealing with some situations, some issues in our lives. The second portion of that Jesus frees us from the power and the practice of sin. This is our sanctification. This is where God comes in. The Holy Ghost comes alongside of us, and he helps us to live the lives in which he's called us to. Too many times, back there on that old slave plantation, we've been free. We've been given the power to leave the plantation of our minds. Jesus put it, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So when he frees us from the power and the practices, it takes us changing our mind. This is where our repentance come in at. In other words, Jesus is saying, change the way you think about your circumstance, about your situation. He wants to free us. But many of us are still stuck. And my question to you is, what is the problem? If the price has been paid, if he's paid the price with his blood, then what's the problem? If he's already done the hard part, If he's took every whip, if he's taken every nail in his hand, if he's taken the piercing in his side, if he's done all of this, then what is the problem? And I can't understand why more people will not accept this. Maybe it's because it's just too easy. And just because it may be easy to you and to me, it was not easy for him. He gave a precious price for your life. And here's the wonderful part about it. He did it simply because he loves us. It has never been because I've been so good. There's nothing that's good about me outside of Christ Jesus. I wrestle every day with taming this flesh, because this flesh still wants to rise up. That old mentality still wants to creep in. But every day I got to continue to renew my mind. Every day I got to keep telling myself who I am in Christ Jesus. I got to keep standing on the word of God, realizing that it's not about me. And I realize it's because of Christ. that I've been set free. I no longer am concerned about dying anymore. Doesn't concern me anymore. Because I realize that on the other side of this world, on the other side of all of this slave mentality that we have, there's a freedom. And that's the third freedom. The third freedom is that he will save us or free us from the presence of sin. And that's what I'm looking forward to. That's my end goal right there. That's my retirement package right there. Heaven is my retirement package. You see, you can never exhaust the funds that's in heaven. It'll always be there. It's everlasting. It does not end. Ain't no more sickness. Ain't no more death. No more cracking of the whip by the master. I've been free. I've been set free. I don't have to worry about the temptation that I feel in this body. I don't have to worry about the guilt and the shame when I do fall. So I've been taken care of. Why? Because the Son has set me free. And I don't know about you, but I'm free today. And I'll always be free. I can never go back into bondage. I'll always be free because he set me free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. It is complete. It is finished. It was finished at the cross of Calvary. It was finished when God decided that in the fullness of time, he would send his Son. God had a plan. Yes, even for my slavery, God has a plan. And he worked his plan. Because he sent Jesus down. Through 42 generations, he sent Jesus down. He sent him down on purpose and with a purpose. And that purpose was to give his life a ransom. But before he gave his life, he gave us a demonstration of how to live a free life here on earth. Because indeed, Jesus lived sin-free. He had never sinned, never knew sin. But yet all of my sin had been placed upon him. Jesus bore all of my sin, the sin that I could not bear. Jesus took it upon himself. Yes, it was at Calvary's cross. Yes, it's when they nailed him in his hands, when they riveted his feet, when they pierced him in his side. And he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. He suffered, bled, and died for my sin. When he gave his life, can't you see the blood trickling down? It was with that blood that he signed my freedom papers. It was with the blood of Jesus Christ. But the good news is that he did not stay there. They took him down off that cross. They put him in a borrowed man's tomb. And he laid there Friday and all night Friday. Laid there all Saturday night. But on the early Sunday morning, he got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. And based upon that, I have been justified. I have been freed from the penalty of sin. I have been freed from the power and the practice of sin. I will be freed from the presence of sin. I've got my ticket in my hand because I've been freed. God has freed me. So I don't have to consider that past life. I don't have to consider where I came from, knowing that God has freed me from it. I don't have any guilt. I don't have any shame because I've been forgiven. And I've been freed. And Jesus is sitting at the right-hand side of the Father right now. He's making intercession. He's praying for you right now. If you are sitting in here and you do not know Jesus in the free pardon of your sin, Jesus right now is praying for you that you would receive the gospel message that was preached to you, that he offered his Son for your sin, that he sacrificed his Son for your sin. He was buried and rose on the third day. He's coming back again for his church. And you better receive him now, because you won't be able to receive him then. We're going to ask now that you stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. If you want to receive Christ today, this is your opportunity. The Bible says, harden not your heart. This is the day of the Lord. This is your opportunity. If you want to submit your life to Christ, or maybe you want to join and be strengthened in your faith, this is your opportunity. God is well able. So some of you are still dealing with the struggles of your past.
Because he lives.
God has come to give you a new start, a new beginning.
I can face.
All it takes
tomorrow.
Is you to surrender.
Because
realize
Jesus
that at one time you were in bondage.
Lives. All fear is gone.
Is there one? Is there one?
Because I know.
Amen. You
I
may
know
be seated. Amen.
Who holds the future?
Thank you, Lord.
And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Amen. Because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Anybody testify to that? Amen, amen.
I can face tomorrow.
Listen, if no one else celebrates our history, we need to celebrate our history. And I believe that the first way we need to celebrate our history is through sharing the gospel message. Letting our people know that Christ has liberated us. He's freed us. He's come to do that for us. And central message of the church is not about race. It's about grace. It's the grace of God. It's what God has come to offer us. So we thank and praise God for our history. We thank and praise God for the history of the cross and what God has come to do in our lives. We're going to ask that you stand now. Amen, amen, amen. It's time to be dismissed. Those who desire prayer, please come down to the throne of grace. Now understand that there's going to be some picture taken afterwards. We're going to ask. It has been, the women are going to go first, and they're going to assemble yourself up here in the pulpit area, and our photographer will be taking pictures. These pictures will be posted. You'll have the opportunity to take your own individual pictures if you would like to. And then the men, we will follow after the women. Amen? So if you would, please make your way down to the front of the church that we might be able to take your picture. Amen. Let us look towards heaven. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you for all that you do, Father. We honor you for who you are, God, and we trust you, Heavenly Father, Lord, with our lives, God. As a matter of fact, we trust you with our whole hearts, God. And we realize, Heavenly Father, Lord, that it is you that have changed our hearts, Father. That it was you that took away that heart of stone, God. That hard heart, Father. That heart that was incapable of reaching out to you, Father. That, God, our salvation is a result of what you did, Heavenly Father, Lord. Because it was your spirit that drew us, God. It's not like we came to you on our own, Father. For the scripture says that the heart is desperately wicked. who can know it, God. But Lord, you've given us a new heart, Father. And so for that, we say thank you, God. We thank you, God, for a new life to go along with the new heart, Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the provisions in which you've given to us to be able to live this life in accordance with your word, God. And we know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that there is a benefit and a blessing in our obedience, God. And so, God, we're praying, God, that you'll give us a spirit of obedience, that we'll be obedient unto your word and what your word has said, Father. God, we're asking right now that you will look out amongst these, your people, God. You know what they stand in need of, God. And so, Father, we're asking you right now that, God, you would touch them in the name of Jesus the Christ. We're praying, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would meet us at our very needs, Father. God, we know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you are God that will meet us at our need, God. And so, Father, I'm praying as well, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would look upon us, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we might be able to meet someone else's needs, Father. That we would mimic the life in which Christ lived, God. That, Lord, if we're going to be Christ-like, Heavenly Father, Lord, then we need to live like Christ, God. We need to forgive like Christ. We need to love like Christ. We need to have compassion like Christ. That our hearts might be filled with joy, God. So, God, I'm praying right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would look upon our sick and our shut-in, Father. That, God, you would move mightily, God. We're praying for Deacon Dave Thomas right now in the name of Jesus. God, we're praying for Deacon James Ross right now in the name of Jesus, God. God, we thank you so much for those, Heavenly Father, Lord, that were at one time on this prayer list that are with us this morning, God. We're always thanking you for them as well, God. Lord, we ask that you give us traveling mercy as we depart from this place. We go to our various destinations, Father. We're praying right now, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would give us traveling mercy, God. And that, God, you will keep us, God, until we meet again. We'll be able to come into this place, in this holy and consecrated place, and to give your name praise once again. If it be thy holy will, God, Lord, if you tarry, God, and we meet again, we know that your spirit will meet us here, Father. We uplift your name today. We honor you today. It is in the matchless and the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing. If you have your African garb on, please make your way to the front.